Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is crazy.
What's that?
Because the name of the song is Teen Spirit, right?
Yes.
They don't say that in the song.
So? Is that the policy of you? You have to have that line as the title.
Well, if
of the
I
song?
Didn't know this song, how would I ever know what the name of it is unless they sing it? In
you
some
just
way?
Know. It's like what is that song by the Who? Baba O'Reilly.
Oh yeah.
Everybody thinks that song is called Teenage Wasteland. It's not.
Teenage Wasteland. Teenage Wasteland.
Bang.
Bang bang. It's kind of like Outkast. Cadillac?
See, I probably don't know. I probably think that song is something
else.
Me
and
else.
You, your mama and your cousin too. You never heard that song?
We have that, Robbie. We have a lot of Outkast in the system. I feel like we have way too much Outkast and way too much Limp Bizkit in this system.
It's Elevators, not Cadillac. Elevators.
Let's see.
Elevators, Robbie. They do say it in the song, but
do they?
Yeah. Now that I think of it.
They ruined your whole point.
Yeah.
Adam Bees is going to join us later this hour.
We'll
talk to Bees and see what he's doing. Bees is going to report right from the campground. He's got boots on the ground, combat boots, obviously, because you know he wants to keep those feet strong as he's out there camping with Brian Flores, who has traps for days.
Hey, by the way, yesterday, remember I told you that the Astros weren't playing any of their starters.
Yeah.
You went out there and it was like
nobody.
Triple A team.
Marlins, you know what they did? Still hit an Astro, just for good measure. That may just be Urania, because everybody thinks Urania is always hitting them on purpose.
Right.
But that's what it, listen, sorry. You think we're gonna roll out there? I gotta tell you, you go out to that ballpark and they have an obnoxiously big World Series sign. I mean, it's right there in left field, and it says 2017 World Champion Houston Astros. So much so that the Nationals had to make an even bigger one for last year.
Oh, geez.
It's so obnoxious at that stadium. And so you go there, and you're just like, my first instinct when I looked in there, I was like, oh, they haven't taken that down, huh? Like, see, that's still up there, huh? That's
nobody's put a giant asterisk on it.
I'm surprised, because I figured it's out there. It's not where there's a lot of security either. It's out in the outfield, so no one's out there.
Yep.
Basically, like one guy, and he barely cares.
But Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of weird stuff going on that song. Night at the, the whole thing was like it was supposed to be Night at the Opera.
Part of my ignorance here. I'm not one lyricist, but I'm pretty sure the song Rosa Parks by Outkast. I know they make references to Rosa Parks, but they don't say her name.
No,
you can go to the back of the bus, but they don't say Rosa Parks.
Right. Dancing. The song is about Rosa Parks.
Yes, but they don't mention her by name.
Right. That's another one.
I think it's fair if you tell the story about Rosa Parks, though. But you don't have to have her in there. I think that works.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these.
Not like the bank that. Try to honor Harriet Tubman.
You're like a Beatles guy. You're like a Here Comes the Sun, and you want the song to be Here Comes the Sun, like right out the gate.
No, like you at least need to, the name of the song needs to be a part of one of the lyrics.
I don't know, man.
How is she going to know the song? When you listen to a song on the radio, what's that song? You don't know the song when you go to ask for it. Look, back in the old days, when you had to buy a CD or a record, you need to know the name of the song.
So
otherwise, here's what happens. Hold on. You go to the store, little Lil Leroy back in the day, save up some money, want to get him a new CD or 8-track, right? Cassette, whatever.
What's that?
I know, exactly. So you go to the store. You say, hey, you got that new song? I don't really know who it's from. And then they ask you the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sing a couple of bars. So not... So you playing Name That Song.
He have bars.
Right, exactly. So if they just had the name of the song, you can listen to the song and then spit out, you know, what you think the song is, because it's in the chorus, and you figure out the song.
Look, man, all I'm telling you is it's okay to artistically not have all that stuff there. It's fine.
Led Zeppelin, I think, in the Immigrant Song. The bah, 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 bah. I don't think they say the word Immigrant Song. I don't know, but they just go, bah.
What about the what about the Miami Dolphins fight song? They don't say Miami Dolphins fight song.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean they say Miami Dolphins song?
They say
it's the Miami Dolphins, though.
Miami Dolphins.
Right. You know it's the Miami Dolphins fight song because they say Miami Dolphins. They don't have to.
We have T-Pain. Underrated this song. It was so hated that I went the other way. I like this version.
Grew on me over time. I initially hated it, but over time it's...
Because I like the part where he goes... I like when he goes, hey, oh, hey, oh. They don't have that in the other one. They have a banjo. Banjo. Come on, man. What are we on the...
That's the original.
Yep.
You know what this song did?
What's that?
It progressed with technology.
Because
I'm more than Sir Jed and the backups didn't have auto-tune.
The best theme song, though, is still The Heat when they play in Glenn Frey, The Heat Is On. That's the money one.
Oh, our version.
Because you get... Well, I like the slow jam version, too, but I'd like the original one, too, where they're doing the roller coaster and you go up the... And then you hit the...
Oh, this is racing fast.
I know. I'm not used to this anymore. Normally, we have the slow jam version that brings us into 15 minutes of heat, and it's sexy time. And then, of course, you have the greatest local song of all time, which is Scott Stapp's Marlins Will Soar. You know. And he says it in there. He goes, let's play ball, it's game day. And
that right there is embarrassing.
What do you mean? We got strikeouts and hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar of the crowd. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. We'll soar.
Hey.
That's a song right there, Leroy.
Did you have a little technical difficulty?
I didn't remember what the other part was when he goes into the incident, when he's telling you that Marlins will soar. Even though they swim, it doesn't really make sense.
Somebody say what?
Oh, hear this up, Leroy. Crank this up, Robbie. This is it. This gets you the move for baseball.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar of the crowd.
Come on, Leroy.
Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Come on, Marlins, make us proud. Keep hoping and dreaming.
I gotta tell you. If I may.
God, that makes me in the mood for baseball, man.
No, it doesn't.
Makes me think of Ugla and Cody Ross.
It's funny because I was getting a different feeling.
Really?
Yeah. Coming over and choking you out. Try to make it stop.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Speaking of Sun Marlins, they were winners yesterday and continue their Grapefruit League dominance as they always do.
Ooh, you know what you call this? I like to call this a little record of 3-0. Ooh, yee! Hitting the ball out of those cheating asterisks all day yesterday at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches. You waltz right into their building with the egregious false World Series championship sign from 2 years ago. I give it the big elbow. And what I watched was sweet Louis Brinson go out there, show him he's going to barrel it up, hit it out there, barrel it up, give the old lumber to the old horse side and knock it out of the park right into the berm. No further questions, Mean Gene.
Jose Urania hit. Nobody thinks that Jose. Everybody always thinks Jose Urania just hits you on purpose, and he's just Jose Urania. He's just gonna hit you.
This control is not the best.
This is what he does. This Ronald Acuna has been mad about this for 3 years. He goes, he's like, right. He's hitting me on purpose. He's like, no, he's not. He's
wild. And then he gets grazed in the elbow pad. He acts like, oh my god,
oh my god, you guys did it again. Ugh, Ronald Acuna. God, I wish he was on the Braves. That guy is good.
Oh, there's that old fake Drake.
Oh, Drake waltzing in there with the, you know why he did that. He waltzed in yesterday with the WWE Championship because that's what the Bucks do before every game. They do like a little wrestling before they go out to the tunnel. They'll like fake a wrestling match. So he walked in to the Bucks Raptors game with the WWE Championship, and the Raptors got their ass whooped by Giannis.
Yep.
I don't think he fell for your hijinks there, Drake.
Somebody says that Adam Sandler singing the Marlins song. It would be better if it was Adam Sandler. Orange whistle.
What else you got?
But the World Baseball Classic, they have announced that they're going to be playing 3 rounds here in Marlins Park, including for the first time ever the semifinals and finals.
Robbie, give us your exclusive report as you feel like an obstacle has been overlooked here with this.
It's either been overlooked or secretly solved, and they're not telling anybody, because in World Baseball Classics in the past, they'd always make sure that the Cuban national team would never get a chance to play in Miami, even putting them as far as Tokyo to play their World Baseball Classic
Tokyo,
games.
Leroy. Tokyo.
Like everybody else, like the Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, they've all played games down here, but never Cuba.
Yep.
And now it's a good possibility that Cuba's pretty good.
Honestly, though, it's one of those things where you look at it and you think that, yeah, because this place has had one of the best atmospheres for the World Baseball Classic. So it makes sense that you want the championship here. But we'll see if that's a thing.
I mean, maybe they secretly resolved that. I may have to reach out, because I've reached out to several Cuban media members. And it's even gotten past them. They were like, whoa, this surprised me.
Yeah, slip past the pipes.
Yeah. I may have to reach out to. I haven't reached out to Will Mansell yet. I'm sure he knows more about the story than I do, and he's his fellow Cuban. So I may have to reach out to him and see what.
Don't he, call between 10 and 12. He'll be at the bathhouse.
Well, I'll send it. He'll see it afterwards, and he'll give him the email. But yeah, it's either been solved or it's a massive problem that nobody's known about, because nobody who's published a story, whether it's anybody from MLB.com, anybody from down here, nobody's mentioned this as a possible obstacle. It's a giant elephant in the room.
Well, if we know one thing about Rob Manfred, is he's on top of things. What else you got, Robbie?
Exclusive report here at 790 The Ticket for the time being. So I don't know if you're going to like this, Tobin, but J.R. Smith, he's picking the Heat and the Lakers to be in the NBA Finals.
Now, there's two ways to look at this. One, J.R. Smith is a genius, or two, J.R. Smith wants to play for the Miami Heat or the Los Angeles Lakers. What do you think, Leroy, when he predicts that the finals are going to be Heat versus Lakers? Is he looking for a job, or does he actually believe that?
We had him already.
We did?
Yeah. His name was Dion.
I feel like J.R. Smith is a little bit more J.R. Smith
has played more meaningful basketball than Dion.
He definitely has. He did have one of the most.
And to the point where teams were relying on his production for victories. Now, the next year,
he forgot the score.
Right. And then once LeBron left, it was all downhill.
There's no way J.R. Smith. Do you remember some of the games J.R. Smith would have down here in Miami? He could not survive being on the Heat.
Like his eyes.
He was just like, he'd be looking, and Leroy, he'd be like, barely could open them, because he'd already been South Beach flued so hard. No way he could survive here. Too crazy. He needs to be in a place like where he won a championship, Cleveland.
Uh-oh, NFL, the league is voting on the CBA.
Okay.
Players.
How much do they need to vote? Is there like a
majority?
Majority, that's
just, it? Just 51%?
Just 51%.
Yeah, they definitely could pay off the majority. Just take it.
Nah, it don't work like that, dude.
Really?
No.
How does it work?
Serious thing. Like, You'll have a meeting with the reps, and the reps will tell you the gist of it. And then you vote. That's it.
What else you got, Robbie?
So the Olympics that's coming up this past summer, but it's in Tokyo, and apparently because of this new coronavirus, there's the Olympics in jeopardy, according to a very senior member of the International Olympic Committee. Do you know what that senior member's name is?
No.
It's his name. I can legally say it. His name is Dick Pound.
So,
no, it's not, man.
That's his name.
Get out of here.
So wait. It's a real. So wait. So don't you have to say that backwards when you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pound.
Holy crap.
Richard. Olympic committees.
The most senior Olympic member of the committee.
This is a headline. This is a headline.
Olympic
from
committees. Dick Pound
is getting roasted on Twitter. I wonder why. Jesus, look at him.
He's a longest running senior member of the.
Is he? Yeah. Well, good for him. At least if you have a name like that, you want to be the longest running. That's for sure.
He definitely got the pickup truck balls on the back.
Oh, for sure.
I wonder if they just hang from his chin. He's a Chinchinian a Ball Chinian.
I mean, like, he really doesn't want to go by Richard?
No, that's the same.
My brother's name is Richard. He hated that.
Richard William Duncan Dick Pound is his Wikipedia. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Sometimes.
Does he give his parents the stare that I give you sometimes? Like, really?
Like, why?
Why?
I mean, no, if you're going, here's the thing though. If you're going by that first name, then you wanted to go by that first name.
So
we're totally overlooking the story. We're just talking about the guy's name. It's
what is the story again?
The Olympics might be canceled.
Oh, the Olympics might be canceled.
Yeah, it's possible the Olympics might be canceled. But
somebody say pound for pound, he's the biggest bleep of them all.
Oh my God.
Little Dicky Pound.
Oh.
That's what they called him as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if he's a baseball player? Yeah, boy, Dicky! Let's go, Dicky!
I got this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on the ticket.
Modified.
I want to let you guys know there's a new episode of Curbcast out. Robbie and I review this week's Curb Your Enthusiasm. So you guys can check that out. Look up Curbcast episode 4 on YouTube, or you can subscribe to our podcast, of course, Tobin and Leroy. It's in that channel as well, as we review the latest Curb Your Enthusiasm, where you learn about women's journals, Leroy. Larry David has invented women's journals, spoiler alert, in his new coffee shop. He doesn't want.
There's no such thing.
He doesn't want. Wrong you are, sir, because he doesn't want any defecation in his new coffee shop, and so he has established for women the women urinal,
and there's a bar that they can hold so they
can
squat.
There's nothing worse than going to a Dolphins game and having a woman waiting in the men's line.
I remember. Do you remember those videos? That was crazy. Wasn't there a video of that where she walked in naked? I'm pretty sure there was that happened at a Dolphins game one time. Yesterday, a big win for the Panthers. They took out the Arizona Coyotes 2-1. Sergei Bobrovsky yesterday was excellent. He went out there and he stood on his head, Leroy. That's what the kids say. And he was given, of course, the Panthers shovel that now also includes the Thanos glove.
Great win, boys. Hell of a goal. Fuck Bobby.
That's a hell of a win. That's the way to finish the trip. Let's reset, refocus, and have some fun. Oh,
yeah! That's focus, Robbie. That's
yeah.
Great win, boys.
Focus is what he said.
Well,
36 saves yesterday for Bob on 38 shots. Unbelievable performance. Good for him.
Two points back.
Big game on Thursday. Game in hand. Blue Leafs on Thursday, right?
Yep.
What are you looking at? You show me a video. It's not loading.
Come on, dude.
There's that. And your headphones broke again. Well, show them to me when it loads. So yeah, there's that. So yesterday at the draft, we're gonna talk to Adam Beasley in about 20 minutes. We'll get an update from him.
So what, like, we hear all the shenanigans or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you more impressed with the Dolphins' willingness to move on from Tua, or are you more impressed with the fact that you have no idea what they actually want to do? And that's a good thing, because they're not doing what they did, what I complained about, which is
hone in on one person.
Right.
I understand. Well, look, if you feel like you have a lot of options at these quarterbacks, and there are a lot of big names in this draft, whether or not you think they're all franchise talent or not, I think it is good to keep all your options open in that regard. But I will say, like I read yesterday in the Herald, where Amanda Salgado reports that the Dolphins are comfortable, the franchise is comfortable not taking any quarterback, that they'll just go for it. Keeps freezing, man. Just let me see. I'll find it on the actual computer. But I just feel like, wouldn't you just be super disappointed if they didn't come out of this draft with any quarterback?
No.
Really?
Because here, we all talk about...
Oh, no.
look at him.
Ref's Hammy got him. I'll retweet that. You guys can see what Leroy's been laughing at for the last 5 minutes.
Hey, no lie. Robert Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
He broke a long touchdown run,
mm-hmm.
right? And we watched him film, and like two or three guys pull a hamstring at the same time chasing him. It was like synchronized hamstring pull. It was hilarious. But no, here. I would be more impressed if they had the wherewithal to not reach, right? If they don't find – look, if they think – the only two guys we really, really, really are willing to commit to are Tua and Joe Burrow. The price.
I don't think you should count Joe Burrow anymore, because you're not getting them.
Right. I'm just saying. When they did their draft evaluation.
I gotcha.
And the cost of getting Tua is not worth the risk. Like so many people say, well, if you think he's the guy, just go get him. It doesn't work like that, man, because guess what? How pissed off would you be if you go draft a player, you move up, spend a boatload to get him, right? And it doesn't work out. Where's your franchise? Because now you've lost players, you've invested picks, and this doesn't work out. If you're not going to get the guys you want, but there are quarterbacks available, wouldn't it be same old Dolphins just take another quarterback? So you say no, I'd be upset if they didn't leave the draft with a quarterback, but I would be more impressed if they didn't find a guy that they really thought could be the guy and decided not to.
I think the thing that's going to upset you is, all right, you had this year where you were laughed at by the league,
mm-hmm.
and you were told that you were bad for players' health,
mm-hmm.
and all you're left out of here is with three draft picks, and none of them feel like they're a star or a franchise player. Like,
you don't know that. Did you think Patrick Mahomes was a franchise quarterback when the Chiefs moved up to get him? Did you think Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers? Did you think Tom Brady was Tom Brady? Drew Brees was Drew Brees? Did you think all these things? No, you didn't. So to sit here and say, if we don't get a quarterback in the first round,
mm-hmm.
or we don't get one of these guys that everybody told me is great, that means we can't find a guy?
It's great to say, man, but the other option you're missing on that spot, yeah, you may not have known, but none of those teams were tanking. None of those teams actively took their team.
I know, but
and
you didn't get there. You did better than you thought you were going
to
do.
I know, and then you
so
have to
change.
But here's the thing. You have to then ask yourself, okay, was it worth it?
Yes.
To do all that?
It's always worth winning games.
Five games, it's really worth it?
Who cares?
It? Okay.
Who cares?
I say because,
that's silly.
Because look.
That's silly.
Wait.
To go win five games, what's the point?
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel better about where you are with this team or where you were with the team last 2 years ago that went 6-10?
Gaser.
But that's different. I thought the coach was an idiot.
No, but my point is this, that where you started and where you are now, right, is such a big leap.
But where are you? You have a quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick who's going out there playing with nothing to lose. He's not going to be your quarterback. He's 40.
Did you think this was going to be a one-year turnaround?
I think the turnaround should happen pretty quick. With all the cap space and all the picks you have, it shouldn't take
that long. But 14 needs.
Okay.
It shouldn't take that long.
Okay. And this is year two. So, do you like what they've done so far? You like what the Dolphins have done so far?
It's been fine.
Like, what else would you have liked them to do?
I would have liked them to beat every... I would have liked them to lose every game except for the Patriots Those are the games I wanted.
Look, I'm sorry.
Well, then why...
But hold on.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but writers and you and fans, right? There's one concept that you're never going to get, mm-hmm. and it drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. That these guys that are playing these games have been competitors their whole life.
Great.
To say you suck because you won more games and we couldn't get our guy, mm-hmm. is ridiculous.
Okay, but here's the thing, man. Like,
I don't know what to tell you. They're competing.
Okay, great that they competed. Good for them.
So now you have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it, but you're in a worse position.
It's not their fault.
Hold on. How can I win here? Because you have told me that you don't want to trade the picks.
Nope.
You know, to move up.
On
the same side of that, you've said that it was worth winning the games.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the point of having all the capital? Having all the capital? Because you were supposed to... What we said is the whole point of having the capital is no matter what your record ends up, you can go trade and get what you want to
go get. Sure, sure. But
you still don't want to do that.
Because, no, that's not what I'm saying. And I've not said what I would do. I'm saying... I'm asking this as a Dolphins fan or as a Dolphin. Are you willing to trade all of that equity to move up to get Tua? Because if it doesn't work out, are you then?
Okay, but what if you draft three guys that don't work out?
No. Three guys, the chances are one of them's going to work.
Okay, and what if that one guy is a middle linebacker?
You got a guy.
Great.
You move from there.
Awesome.
Okay, and what if Tua doesn't work?
Then you're screwed.
Right. And you're going to be patient with that. Everybody's going to be so patient with that. See, we live in this world where, hey, let's go take our swings at it, and then the second it doesn't work, you suck.
Okay, so you'd rather just live in the harbor of having Fitzpatrick here forever?
No, what I'm saying is this, and this is what I've been saying the whole time. If you're okay with the Dolphins putting everything in one pot to go get a broken quarterback, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work out, are you going to be understanding then?
Understanding of what? They're going to have to start over again. That's the game.
Yes, and you're going to be cool with that?
You have no choice.
You're going to keep being a fan? People are going to keep buying tickets?
You think I haven't been through a fan through hard times?
No, again, but I'm just saying.
With this team?
It's easy to say that now, but when you're living it, nobody's understanding. You're not.
Hold on, man. Hold on. Okay, this is adorable. Okay.
What do you mean adorable?
Welcome to sports. Guess what? When you don't get the results that you want to get, I don't want to be understanding. All right? You're here to entertain me. It's my Sunday. If I'm sitting here and you guys play terrible, then that's that.
Right. Agreed.
That's that.
Agreed.
I'm allowed to be pissed. I'm allowed to. That's my life.
But to put all your eggs up, you think nobody's going to be. So everybody's cool. Let me get this straight. If the Dolphins say, we're going to take these three first-rounders and go get Tua.
Hold on.
It doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. The first words that would come out of everybody's mouth, same old Dolphins. They make terrible picks.
And Leroy, what happens if you draft Justin Herbert? A more understandable pick because he doesn't have the risk. And he's fine. Let's say he's Ryan Tannehill. Let's just say he's fine. But Tua goes and becomes Patrick Mahomes.
You're not in
What happens, though?
Oh, yeah.
What happens?
You
whiffed.
Wrong.
Yeah, you whiffed.
You didn't whiff.
You did.
It depends on what you do with the other two picks.
You can do the right thing and it end up with the wrong result.
No.
You can.
No. That's not the right thing.
Because you
went and drafted with no courage. That's what you did.
Okay, but stop acting like you're going to be so understanding if this doesn't work out and they go and get to it.
I'm not talking about not working out. I'm more worried about what's going to work out.
Okay.
I always tell you
that. Okay. Look. When you're going to make these picks, it's risk assessment,
mm-hmm.
okay? This is very risky for a team that hasn't had success in a while,
mm-hmm.
and you don't care.
Yeah, I don't. You want to know why? Because it's been 20 years, man.
That doesn't mean anything. If it doesn't work, look.
The whole reason I was down with the plan in the beginning with them trying to tank is they've tried everything else. That's why I gave them the pass to do it. They've never been a franchise that tanked. In fact, I've given Stephen Ross credit because he goes out and spends a heap load of money all the time it's necessary to do so. That dude's won free agency more than anybody. Right. They've also tried the thing where they have taken a quarterback at need with Ryan Tannehill. They tried that. Didn't feel like it was good enough. They've gone and gotten free agent quarterbacks. They've traded for quarterbacks. They've done it all, man. They've done it all. There's been a ton of quarterbacks that have started since Dan Marino. So, yeah, if they go out there and they blew up a season, they got the draft equity, and they find it willing, if they find it willing to go and take all that draft stock to go get Tua Tagovailoa because they think he's going to be a star, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Right. And if it doesn't work out, okay, but I was okay with it now. That's it. And if he does, and if he sucks, he sucks. But I'm not going to not react to it. Sorry.
All right.
I'm not going to
like,
say
I don't. I like. Look, I get it. I get everybody. And you're only like this because people have told you this, right? You like until they do all the testing and stuff, and you don't really know how good he is. But from seeing him on, you know, play for Alabama, which he was awesome. But here's the problem. Right? Like, if you're running an organization, are you going to invest draft equity in a quarterback that you don't even know is going to be healthy? Forget great or not great. You don't even know if he's going to be healthy.
I know, man, but we're going to do this, and you're going to have traded a left tackle. And you're going to have traded, if you're going to
in hopes that you would, in hopes,
even if it was Fugazi, a Pro Bowl safety, and you're going to come out of it with not your franchise quarterback, then what was it all for?
Okay, but if there's only, look, if there's only, how many franchise quarterbacks you think are in this draft?
Say whoever the Dolphins take.
Two.
Not old tiny hands, I'll tell you that much.
Two, maybe three guys, right?
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe one.
Now, like, again, I'm where this team is, right? I don't know if you can afford, because guess what? If you invest too much in this one player, right, it's going to be Ryan Tannehill all over again because you're not going to have support system around your quarterback.
But that's where I disagree with you, because they have the money to spend. They do have draft picks after the first round. They have more first round picks next year. Like, when you go and say, oh, is this supposed to be a one-year project? No, it's not. But if especially if you're starting this year to draft a quarterback, shouldn't you get 2 years to put stuff around him?
Okay, so guess what? What if they have more conviction about Trevor Lawrence now that Tua's hurt?
Isn't that more ridiculous? Like, I thought you were mad at the whole having conviction thing.
I mean, it's the same conviction.
Yeah, but why would you be more okay with Trevor Lawrence?
He's healthy.
Now? He can't go play football and get his hip broken?
Which is exactly what I told you before last year started when you were saying tank for Tua. And I'm like, you're going to say he's going to be the number one quarterback before the year starts?
His talent is warranted of using the draft equity for it.
There's a lot of football that he had to play. And guess what? Now he's not the number one quarterback.
But his talent is – well, did he lose out because of his health, or did he lose out because Joe Burrow just had a better year?
From what I've been hearing – that if Tua was 100% healthy, even though Joe Burrow had that year, Tua would have still been the first pick.
We'll talk some more of this. Adam Beasley, he is going to join us from the Combine. Love talking to Bees. We'll get to him next.
Would you watch the games this past year?
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. There we'll find our guy Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. Does an excellent job covering the Miami Dolphins. Bees, what's going on, man?
Gentlemen, what is the weather in Miami presently?
Beautiful.
A lot better than your cold weather.
Beautiful. What do you got going on over there?
The snow is falling.
Oh, my God.
It's miserable. I hate the Combine in Indianapolis.
Really?
I cannot wait for it. I know they have a lot of civic pride in this event. If I never come back to this town again, I'll be just fine.
Why does the Combine always get to be in that city? Like, why can't they do, like, the draft and take it on tour?
Well, it's a long-running tradition. And to be honest, from a functional standpoint, it's brilliant. because Indianapolis is in the middle of the country, right? You can get basically any city in the country in 3-4 hours from Indianapolis. It's right in the middle, so it's easy access. And they have all the convention center is great, and all the hotels and restaurants you could ask for. It's a centrally located city. Everything's downtown, and they've got a great medical facility because that's the most important thing at a combine, which I'm sure we'll get into about Tua. They need a good medical facility nearby. It checks all those boxes, but from a purely enjoyment standpoint, why the hell are we in Indianapolis in February? I have no answer to that question.
Before we get into the quarterbacks, to you, does Brian Flores' traps look like he has been lifting all offseason? Because I was taken aback. I was taken aback by how jacked he was yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. He puts the woe in swole, right? I mean, he's all yoked up, so to speak.
I'm telling you, I was like, oh my God, it looks like he has been shoulder shrugging since they beat the Patriots.
Not big as Vance Joseph, though.
Well, I would like to see them in an arm wrestling competition. That'd be fun.
So what are the Dolphins hoping to get out of this, especially when it comes to Tua? He's not going to work out. He's not quite there yet as far as football operations is concerned, football activities are concerned. So what are they hoping to get when they meet Tua, and what can they learn from him at the combine?
Well, the most important thing for him this week, obviously, was the medical. We don't know exactly what was discovered yesterday or 2 days ago when he had, like, I think, a 10-hour physical. I mean, they probed and prodded and twisted and twerked every bit of his body. And we don't know exactly what was determined, but the teams will. They'll have that information. So that's the most important thing this week. Is his hip, are his ankles, all those things, are they recovered to the degree? And do they look strong enough going forward that a team will be confident taking him in the top five? Because that's what this is all about. We have to know if he is a guy that's going to be a viable quarterback down the road. And if he checked all those boxes and he met that standard, then the most important thing, number two, is convincing teams in a meeting that he's got it. That's what we talked about a lot with Flores yesterday, the it factor. And quarterbacks need to have it. And obviously it's a kind of a vacuous statement. You don't know exactly what it means. You know it when you see it. He has to prove to them throughout the course of the week, the Dolphins, any other team that might be considering drafting him, that he's got it. So the Dolphins have a big contingency here. They have a lot of coaches, a lot of scouts, a lot of personnel guys, and they're trying to determine if Tua is a guy that not only can hold up to the rigors of the NFL, but also has what is needed from the neck up to be a leader of this franchise.
Do you think, because I was reading, you know, you and Sal Guerra, all your pieces from yesterday, and I saw the blur where he's like, oh, the Dolphins, maybe they'll be fine not taking a quarterback if they come out of this draft not drafting one. Do you believe that, Bees? It's tough. We've been calling this the campground. Like, it's tough to get through all these campfires, these smoke signals that are going on. Because, like, to me, man, I thought all of this, the point was, we're going to come out of this with a quarterback of the future.
Guys, if I would have told you this time last year that the Dolphins were going to cut or trade away all their best players, that they were going to have Ryan Fitzpatrick as their starter, that they're going to lose their first two games by 1,000,000 points, that they're going to start, what did they start, 0-7, 0-6? I can't remember, so long ago. A long losing streak to start the season to derail any chance of a good year. They would do all that and end up with a tackle at the number 5 pick. What would I have told you?
I mean, I would be so mad at you if you told me that. We would just not be friends anymore. Neither would Leroy. He hates offensive tackles in the top five.
But Bees, correct. Like, but here's the problem: that if you do all that to get a position, and what's available to you isn't worth either the capital or the draft pick, do you just take a quarterback, or do you move on to something else? Because this is not going to be a quick turnaround. You're not expecting to turn this around in 2 years.
Leroy, you're using logic, and logic is not a strong suit with fans.
But, okay.
That's what you have to realize, that this is a business, and this is a team that needs to sell tickets. This is a team that has seen an enormous drop-off in their popularity over the last 10 years. The ratings are embarrassing for local eyeballs. I mean, this is a team that really needs an injection of hope, an injection of enthusiasm, an injection of talented players. And what are you going to tell a fan base that after enduring all they endured last year, and at times, guys, it was frankly embarrassing. I know Flores and Fitzpatrick kept it together at the end of the season, and they made something of a really terrible year. But we forget back in September and October, we were talking about this being potentially the worst team ever constructed. And you can't roll into 2020 after what you put your fan base through last year with no hope. And here's another factor that I don't think is discussed enough. Their owner turns 80 years old in May. 80. And I know he's obviously got all the wealth in the world, and I'm sure great access to an amazing medical plan. But look, the owner doesn't want to spend his golden years watching the garbage we watched last year and watching the garbage he's watched basically since he bought the team in 2009. So, yes, I agree with you from a purely rational standpoint. If the right quarterback isn't there, you punt to 2021, where there's, you know, hopefully the number one pick in the draft next year won't have a catastrophic hip injury, and hopefully that quarterbacks you've had your eyes on don't have a regression year, and there are real options in 2021. I get the logic. On paper, that makes sense. But these are human beings we're talking about here, Leroy, and they want to win, and they want to have hope, and they don't want to waste another year of their lives.
Yeah, but if you do this the same old Dolphins thing, you're going to end up in the same old Dolphin spot. And part of the reason why they have ended up with all these disappointing draft picks is because either one, they went for the big ticket item, or two, they wanted to get butts in seats, and that didn't translate into winning. So you have to handle it a little bit differently now. And I know it's not the sexy thing to say or do, but I would rather them either get the right guy, but not the sexy guy. You see what I mean? The sexy guy doesn't mean you're going to win. It just means you're going to pique some interest. The right guy is the guy that's going to get you wins for a long term. And they're not in a position to use up a lot of equity, although they have it, if they have that much conviction about a guy. And I just want them to go about it that way, because if you keep on doing the same Dolphins things, you're going to keep having the same Dolphins results.
It's only Dolphins things, so they don't work. Like if they end up
How they've done things, you know, signing the big name, getting the next quarterback up, regardless of what everybody thought about the guy or whatever, they kind of just spent their whole last 20 years doing whatever makes everybody happy. It didn't necessarily translate into winning. And I want their decisions to translate into winning.
I guess I would say this, guys. There's so much uncertainty when it comes to the quarterback position.
Yes.
And there are so many teams that spent tens of millions of dollars and untold man hours. And I mean, they every team has scouts that canvass the country. And there are so many layers of analysis and study and decision-making before they come to a quarterback. And teams get it wrong all the time. All the time. You only have to ask Tobin about a team getting a quarterback position wrong despite putting all the resources they have into trying to get it right. You're set up to fail if you're a GM, because more often than not, you're going to make the wrong decision, because there are only a select few of these elite players that can change a franchise. And I would say this, if you're sitting here 2020 with 14 draft picks, three in the first round, two in the second, $120 million of cap space, you can basically buy any player you want except for Joe Burrow, because he's going to go to Cincinnati. And you're sitting there and you're like, wow, we haven't had a quarterback since Marino that really is worth his salt.
Where was he drafted?
Let me finish. The point I'm making is this. If you sit there and see a guy who is, by most accounts, a generational talent, has incredible accuracy, has incredible timing, has his leadership is off the charts. If you're in the position to get that guy and you're worried about his medical, you're going to regret
it. That's important.
You're going to regret it if you settle for a guy like Justin Herbert or Jordan Love or Eason, or just fill in the blank here, that, oh, this is the safe pick because he hasn't been hurt. And then you turn around and he's leading the Carolina Panthers to Super Bowl after Super Bowl. You're only, I mean, the world, I mean, the, of a line, right? The, you have a chance this year to do something truly special, to get a guy that is off the charts in so many categories. And they only the opportunity comes around once a lifetime. And particularly for Chris Greer and Brian Flores, who have been waiting for a lifetime to be in this position to get a player like that, to set up a franchise for the next 10 years. And you're going to have some courage of your convictions. I understand the medical is scary. I understand it can blow up in your face. But do you see – I'm going to ask you point blank. Do you see Justin Herbert or Jordan Love or guys like that turning around this franchise?
No.
We talked about that. We talked about that enthusiasm injection. Taking a fan base that's been so beaten down by a generation of mediocrity and giving them something to root for. Do you see any of those guys close to that? Yes, I would love to have Joe Burrow. We live in the real world. It's not going to happen. The Dolphins are not going to get Joe Burrow. But they can get Tua, and you can check all those boxes we talked about. And, yes, there is some risk. But there's also a chance he's an amazing quarterback that's going to lead this team to a place they haven't been in a very long time.
I want to ask you, B's, about your speaking of Justin Herbert, about your piece. So he ran into Dan Marino, I guess, at the combine randomly. And can you kind of touch on, I guess, what is Marino's role? Because you said he's got he still has a role on the football side, even though he's officially titled under Garfinkel. How much are they going to lean on him in this process?
Yeah, they're going to probably say, hey, you were a great quarterback. What does a great quarterback need to have from the neck up? What kind of attitude, leadership abilities, cognitive skills, all these things that a great quarterback needs to have? And we're going to have you sit in a room when we talk to all these guys. You're not going to have the final say. He's not the GM. He's not the owner. He's not the head coach. But if you identify something that we're missing, tell us. Because there's no better candidate to be able to identify skills he saw in himself and other people as to what's going to take a great quarterback. And I think that's basically what his role is. He's not going to break down tape. He's not going to say, hey, look, this guy scored a 35 in his Wonderlic instead of a 37. No, he's going to sit across from a player and kind of get the read of him as a leader, as a man, as a football player. And if you can pass the Dan Marino test, that goes a long way, I
think. I like
that
test.
Yeah, it's kind of like Meet the Parents, where he does the human lie detector test. He just holds your wrists and see if your pulse is pumping. That's the Marino test. He sits down there.
He also asked him if he could milk him.
I have nipples, Herbert. Can you milk me?
he also wanted to be milked like a cat.
yes, correct. Former CIA agent Dan Marino is going to put them to the human lie detector test. And if Tua or Justin Herbert or whoever can impress, and that was the point of my story, can impress Dan Marino, that goes a long way into finding a place on this roster.
If they don't end up using their draft equity in the first round, where do you sense the Dolphins are going to try and hit first in this draft with these other two picks? Because we've talked about it on this show, like, you know, Robbie, what do you have it at right now, Robbie, on needs count?
14 needs.
If you get in the pulse of everybody, what's rich in this first round in this draft? What do you think the Dolphins could solidify position-wise going forth in the first round if they don't have to spend it all getting their quarterback?
Well, it makes me chuckle. We'll take one off the table already, which is wide receiver, because there are a bajillion excellent wide receivers in this year's draft. Unfortunately, the Dolphins have signed all their wide receivers to long-term extensions. We'll take that off the table. But a more likely scenario is cornerback, offensive line, defensive line. Those are really perhaps running back. If there's a really elite player they find at 26, they're not going to use the number 5 pick or probably even the number 18 pick on a running back. But if there's a great back there at 26, they'll consider it. And that's good, because there's a lot of depth at those positions in this year's draft. And I kind of thought about it this way. But Jeff Okuda could be a transformational, elite cornerback. Pair him with Xavier Howard, and you'll have the best secondary in the NFL. In World 2, where they have the quarterback position solved, they would be able to set themselves up for a very long time in the secondary by taking Okuda at 5. That's not going to happen, obviously, because they're going to take a quarterback. But that's just one idea of the depth and the elite players at positions of need for the Dolphins. They're going to be guys at 18. They're going to be guys at 26 that kind of fit their mold, that do what they want to do. Offensive line, I'm about to walk into a room where the offensive linemen are talking. that there's going to be a bank of talent at 26, at 18 of tackles that are to help this team. So in my heart of hearts, I really hope the Dolphins don't have to move up, because it's going to help them so much, because there are so many good players in this draft at positions that not only fill a need but fit their system too, that they'll be able to go and get. So everyone's saying Tua, go up and get him. Yes, you need your quarterback. That's the most important thing to solve. But if you can hang on to those other picks and actually make a pick at 5 and address other positions at 18 and 26, this is going to be a much better football team in 2020.
Thanks, Bees. Appreciate that. What? Leroy, what?
Isn't that what I've been saying the whole time?
Nah, Beasley said it more.
Oh, my goodness.
I understood what he was saying more than what you
were saying. We just fought for 10 minutes, and then he agreed with me.
Nah, I don't think he agreed with you.
Yes, he did.
Nah, I don't think so.
Wait a minute. I haven't been listening, but are you saying that Leroy and I have the same opinion on something? I need to really reassess what I'm doing.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe it's
yes.
cold
like,
out there.
Wanna,
maybe your brain
look,
is freezing in Indy.
Here's what I believe, Bees, is I'm not saying that Tua isn't good enough. I'm not disputing his talent. But what I'm saying is where this team is, I don't think the best move is to trade their other first-round picks to get a guy that is on the lower end of, you know, a definite thing because of his injuries. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest wild card of this entire offseason. What do you think about Tua's medical, and do you think he can sustain the rigors of a 16-game NFL season going forward? If you believe yes, there's no price too big to pay to get him because he will change your franchise. But I can understand those that say no. I can understand those who say, you know what, I'm going to hang on to my assets. I'll take a guy at 5 and maybe Justin Herbert that isn't quite – that the upside isn't quite as high, but I can rely on him for being there for 16 games, and then I can save my other assets and fill other needs. Totally get that. But you know what, Leroy? There are a whole long list of teams that traded up for a quarterback that got them into contention that aren't sitting back and thinking, man, I wonder what I could have got to 26 if I had kept that draft pick. No.
But who?
Derek Stack. I don't know, the guy that just won the Super Bowl, the best quarterback in the world.
He was at 10.
I mean, had to move up to get him. I don't think they're regretting the assets they parted with to go and get a guy that has made them the best team in the world. That's what the Dolphins' number one objective is to go back, to get back to that level where they can compete for Super Bowls. And, yes, it's going to hurt a little bit when you watch at 18, if they have to trade their pick, a good player come off the board. That's not going to be a great feeling. But you know what is a great feeling? Going to the AFC Championship game.
Right.
And there's
would be a good
generation. There's an entire generation of Dolphins fans that have never experienced that. And the best way, the fastest way, the most efficient way of getting back to that level is getting the quarterback position right.
All right, B, stay warm, man. We got a break, but enjoy the rest of your time in Indy and safe flights home, all right?
It is a blizzard outside, guys. I hate being here.
It's Adam Beasley. Always appreciate him joining us. We'll be back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.